The following is a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.
We are fortunate this morning to have with us Mr. Bob Stein. Bob is Deputy Chief Economist at First Trust Advisors. And as I said, I heard him speak at a symposium in Austin about 2 months ago. Fascinating speech. I thought, you know, I really want to get this guy on the air, and we are fortunate to have him with us this morning. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you. Sorry for those difficulties.
Oh, that's okay. We've had them all morning. We've had technical difficulties here all morning, but thank you so much for being with us. And you gave a tremendous presentation in Austin, and I was totally mesmerized sitting in the audience. But now, you know, moving forward, back then you were talking about what was coming up, and I think Brian Westbury came right after you, right after you, and said Trump's going to win.
Yep.
What do you think now that this is all over with? What is your thoughts on the election?
Yeah, I think it's a pivotal moment for economic policy in the U.S. There are going to be massive changes, and many of them, the vast majority of them, will be in a free market direction. And, you know, it might be a nightmare to some of the people marching in the streets, but it's a dream come true for many other Americans.
Absolutely. I tell you what, now, I told them I would coax you. Try to coax this story out of you. Before we get too far into it, tell us a story about when you came to, right after you came to First Trust. You got a phone call, and we're going to move off from that after you finish the story.
Sure. So there I am sitting at my desk. It's about a decade ago at this point. Very first week of First Trust, and I get a phone call from an old friend of mine. It's a guy I used to work with on Capitol Hill for many years as a fellow congressional staffer. Until he actually got the bright idea to quit his job, move back to his district, and run for Congress himself. And when he did that, nobody thought he would win. And some of us kind of laughed behind his back. But lo and behold, the guy actually goes and wins. So, you know, several years later, he's calling me. I'm finally at First Trust after leaving the Treasury Department. He calls me directly, like not through his, like, secretary or anything. He just calls me directly. And he says, "Hey, Bob, I had no idea you were going to leave the Treasury Department." And, you know, when I finally figured out who it was, I said, "Well, yeah, but, you know, I thought it was time to go." He said, "Hey, listen, I know you just started at First Trust, but I am looking for a chief economist. And is there any possible way you'll cut your time short with First Trust and come work for me up on Capitol Hill?" And, you know, I try to be gracious because this is, you know, he's an old friend of mine, but now he's a congressman, and I hadn't talked to him in a couple of years, frankly. So I said, you know, "Hey, I'm honored that you would think of me, but I've made a commitment to First Trust, and I've got to see it through. I've got to work here at least 2 years before I even think about switching to something else." But what I was really thinking was, "Are you nuts?" Okay, I've worked for the federal government for 11 years, making a lot less money than I could have in the private sector. I finally got this great job with First Trust Advisors, an asset manager out of Chicago. And you think I'm going to suddenly abandon all that to go work for some hole-in-the-wall junior congressman who's never going anywhere? So, to be frank, I was feeling great about myself when I hung up on Paul Ryan. So,
well,
just think where you'd be.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, now you obviously you have the ability to speak with Mr. Ryan, but what do you think is going to happen? Do you think they're going to? Looks like they're going to mend fences. I think that Paul Ryan and Donald Trump seem to be getting along very well.
Yeah, they've got a lot on their plate. They need each other to get a lot of things done, and Mike Pence is a perfect liaison between the two of them. Pence obviously is very close to Trump as his vice president, and he is also very close to Paul Ryan politically. They're very friendly. And so I think it's going to be a great triumvirate running policy in the United States. You know, they have a lot on their plate. They have the Affordable Care Act, which will largely be repealed, reforms of Medicaid. We're going to see big supply-side tax cuts, big cuts in the corporate rate, try to get the economy going again. We're going to see reforms of Dodd-Frank, not wholesale repeal of Dodd-Frank on the financial sector, but some reforms of Dodd-Frank. We're going to see looser rules on the fossil fuel industry in terms of building pipelines, things like that. So this is going to be a huge world of difference compared to what we've experienced over the last several years.
Now, they've been asking for a full repeal of Dodd-Frank. You don't think the whole thing?
No. I do not. You know, you always, in politics, you always ask for more than you can get. There's no reason not to. And the problem is that Dodd-Frank repeal requires 60 votes in the U.S. Senate. And the Republicans do not have 60 votes in the U.S. Senate. They have 52.
Right.
So it's going to be tough to get 8 Democrats to sign along with that. So it's a full repeal. They will make changes. I think they will make changes that that provide flexibility to small and medium-sized banks do some other minor changes. But I don't think that you're going to see wholesale repeal. But, hey, it's worth asking for. You're just not going to get the whole thing.
Now, speaking of flexibility, because the Democrats feel so wounded right now, are they going to be – do you think they'll just be totally inflexible from their side? Or do you think
on some things, yes, but it really doesn't matter on many issues because the Republicans now control the presidency, the House, and the Senate, and so they can use the budget reconciliation process in the U.S. Senate. They don't need a filibuster-proof majority on budget-related issues, taxes and spending, to get things done. So for many of these important key issues, Obamacare, tax cuts, stuff like that, Medicaid, Medicare, you're going to see the Democrats simply being bystanders, and nothing else.
Wow. Wow. So are you optimistic about these next 4 years?
I am optimistic about them. My only concern is where the Fed goes from here. The Fed may become more aggressive, and who knows? That could still tilt us into a recession a few years from now. But I think whatever recession we get, the next recession, it will be mild. It is not near term, not in the next couple of years. And so we still have an all clear for investors going forward.
Well, we want to talk about that. If you'll just stay with us for the next break, we'll get very specific about the economy when we come back. Stay with us, folks. You're listening to Straight Talk Money.
The following is a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.
We've got with us this morning Bob Stein. Bob is deputy chief economist at First Trust Advisors. And he used to be with the U.S. Treasury Department and a good friend of Mr. Ryan. So he's a man of a lot of knowledge, a lot of experience, and knows a lot of folks up there. But I just really want to get back to simple economics. Bob, we got an all-time high this morning, but corporate earnings have been, I think they've been okay this quarter. I don't know what the final numbers are going to be. We had 5 quarters in a row of negative corporate earnings, and I'm kind of an old-time guy. I've been around for 40 years, and I kind of feel like if I'm investing in a stock, I want it to be making money. And if it is, then I can appreciate the fact that it might go higher. Seems to me like the markets are being driven higher, even though the corporations are not doing quite as well. What's your assessment on the market and the economy right now?
Yeah, our assessment is that the economy is going to, for the time being, remain a plow horse. So on average, over the past 7-8 years, economic growth has been 2%. So we think for the next couple of years, it'll be more like 2.5%, maybe a little bit faster if Trump can quickly get some of these new policies in. In terms of the equity markets, we still think equities are cheap. And the reason we do, even at the current level of profits, we think they're cheap. And the reason is because interest rates are so low. And even though they're going up, they're not skyrocketing. We're not going to 5% on the 10-year anytime soon. And given the earnings of, say, the S&P 500 corporations, we think equities have further to go up. Now, obviously, they're not as cheap as they were, you know, 7.5 years ago back in at the depths of the recession in 2009. They're not even as cheap as they were a year ago. But we still think when an investor looks at his age, risk profile, financial goals, he should be more tilted towards equities than he normally would be, in part because most investors believe they should be less.
So are you talking all equities, or are there some? I realize you're not the sector person for the company, but yeah. Are we looking for equities that are servicing the baby boomers, for instance, like healthcare?
We like the healthcare sector. We like financials. because interest rates are going to be moving up. Their interest margin is going to be moving up. They're going to be making more from the excess reserves that the Fed is holding at these banks. So we think financials are in a great position, especially small, medium-sized financial companies, you know, are in a terrific position. We think Dodd-Frank's going to loosen up on those companies as well. And we do think we'll see a little bit more business investment, so high-tech companies over the next couple of years. Even though high-tech's kind of been beaten down recently because they fear Trump, we think in the end they're going to be a part of whatever expansion in the business world that we see over the next several years.
Now, Mr. Trump's thoughts about getting in and dealing with these trade agreements, looking at possibility of either tariffs or some sort of sanction. You know, they were talking this morning on CNBC about the autos and about the steel, about China's steel. Is this going to hurt the markets overall, or will this be helpful to the markets?
I think the protectionism will be a problem for the markets. But I think in the end, Trump backs off the protectionism for that reason and focuses more on immigration. So, you know, he'll reach those nationalist-style voters that he was able to reach in Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania through immigration restriction rather than protectionism.
Okay. And will he be able to bring back, do you think he'll be able to bring back manufacturing? You know, there's, you know, so much of manufacturing has left to go to countries where the people, you know, make, you know, $100 a week or some, you know, ridiculous low number. Not what the average American is used to making in order to get their flat screen TV and their cell phone.
I don't think that protectionism is actually going to successfully work. I think much of the loss of manufacturing jobs, not just in the U.S., but even in a country like China, which has lost manufacturing jobs, it's related to productivity.
Okay. Now, if you're a smart guy and you've been in the Treasury Department, you've been on Capitol Hill, if you were sitting in Mr. Trump's office right now, what would you tell him?
Focus on the big issues, delegate. Focus himself on the big issues and delegate the rest to trusted advisors.
Oh, that means it's really important to get the right set of trusted advisors, that's for sure.
Exactly.
Are you liking what you're hearing about the advisors around him right now?
So far, so good. I think Priebus is perfect for chief of staff. Uh-huh. He knows how Washington works. He has a very low ego, and he doesn't have policy axes to grind. He will let the policy people do policy, and he will do a fair assessment for the president. I think Kellyanne Conway is a movement conservative. She knows the issues well. She has very good instincts politically, and I'm very happy she's there as well.
Okay. Or do you think I want Giuliani as Attorney General?
I would like to see Giuliani as Attorney General or Secretary of State. He will drive other countries crazy if he's Secretary of State, and that's why.
Now, what about Newt Gingrich? Is there a place for him?
Newt Gingrich has to be the smartest guy in every room he's in and has to prove that point or try to. So I think he will not get the elevated position he will end up with. I think he's a little bit on the abrasive side.
Right.
Rubs some people the wrong way. That said, I could imagine him at, like, Homeland Security, maybe, or something like that. So in a very important position, but one that isn't totally in the limelight.
Yeah, because I know that he and Giuliani never backed down. They were all very
exactly.
strong supporters of Trump. They
yeah, he'll get something, but it's not going to be quite as prominent.
Right. Is there something, Bob, economically that really worries you out there? You know, what about interest rates now? The first headline I saw after the election is that because of the election, maybe the Fed will hold off raising rates in December. But
the
10-year
Fed is definitely going to raise them. You can never say definite until they do it. But
right.
The Fed is highly, highly likely to raise rates in December and at least a couple times next year. Now, rates
right.
will still be low by historical standards. They just won't be quite as low as they've been lately.
Right. Yeah, I did a show a couple weeks ago called Higher Rates, Not High Rates. And that's what we're looking for. We're going to be looking at higher rates,
that's
but
exactly
not high
right.
rates. Is there anything else that worries you out there? I mean, you're apparently not worried about the lackluster corporate earnings. You're not worried about increases in interest rates. Is there anything that the investor needs to be careful of or pay attention to?
Yeah, I think they need to be aware that the forces that created a housing bubble a decade ago are starting to align. So today there's no housing bubble, not at all, okay? But a few years from now, there might be. And so we have to pay attention in the meantime to see whether one is developing. Again, there is no housing bubble today at a national level. Maybe in San Francisco and New York City, but that's separate, okay? But we have to watch closely to make sure one doesn't develop.
Okay. Other than that, you think the coast is clear?
I think the coast is clear for at least the next couple of years.
And we're in for a very interesting 4 years, that's for sure.
Oh, certainly.
Listen, Bob, thank you so much. The next time you speak to Paul Ryan, tell him to do the best he can. We're all depending on him.
Sure thing.
Anyway, thank you, sir. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. All right, yeah, great. That was great commentary. You know, it's interesting to be
very positive.
Yeah,
it was very positive,
much more so than I thought. And he is so well connected. You know, Bob had a tremendous background. He was chief economist for the Senate Budget Committee on Capitol Hill, and an economist for the Senate Banking Committee and the Joint Economic Committee prior to his joining First Trust in the Treasury Department. So. A lot of background there. He's not worried, so neither, I guess, we shouldn't be either.
You have been listening to a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.